The 544th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pickup for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And we're also brought to you by the premier arbitrage sports betting tool, Avo. Use their tool to bet both sides and lock in a profit. Access their platform for free at arbsversusodds.com. That's A-R-B-S versus odds. .com. Plus, in honors of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a tailor-made Spider X putter for free. Enter today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters.
Heidi ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 544 episodes of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Let's send this one out to, we have a lot of new friends in the Discord as the last name. Let's send it out to Amanda, because yes, it sounds like Amanda could be a female. We could have a female infiltrating our sausage party that is the Discord, but welcome to her if you are her, and welcome to everyone else. We had a lot of newbies last night. I think Gumby going 5-0 on PFL the night before may have helped the things a bit. Also, the fact that it was UFC 300 probably helped things a bit as well. And it did not disappoint. To steal a line from Hockey Gambling Podcast, Talon Jenkins, it was absolutely electric. We asked for fights that have meaning. Basically, all these fights have meaning. Did they answer questions? We'll find out. A lot of them did. And exciting fights to boot. So it had all that we were looking for. And more importantly, I went 10-3. That's the biggest thing that we want to talk about. Don't bury the lead. I dominated again. So we'll talk about all of that. No UFC next week, so we can jump into recap, fantasy booking, all that fun stuff here. And then we shall go on from there. A lot of big announcements too last night, which we will discuss at the end of the episode. Let's bring in my co-host here. He didn't go 10-3. It's the one and only Tapology. Tapology handicapper himself, Daniel Gumby Rutland. Hello.
Shout out to all of you guys in the comment section who still think I can make picks based on Tapology. the funny thing is, the one who, and if you're still listening, you know, and you came back for more, props to you. Shout out to whatever this guy's name was, because I can't even remember it. But the one who said that I was wrong for saying that Tom Breese had a deficiency in his boxing compared to Rob Wilkinson. Like, come on now.
What happened? What happened there?
Like 45 seconds.
Yeah. Exactly. Gumby can't resist talk about PFL. Even when we have UFC 300 to talk about, Gumby wants to talk about PFL instead.
I went 5-0 with two underdogs.
In PFL,
One of them +240. So, yeah, no, I want to talk about that for a second. We'll talk about PFL. We actually got two PFL shows coming up for you guys. If you want more PFL action, we got good news for you. Monday.
Don't you threaten them with a good time, Gumby.
Monday and Tuesday, prelims and main card for PFL. So make sure you check that out. We should talk about UFC 300. Speaking of things that I was really right about and ended quickly.
He goes right to that. The man goes 6-7 on the night. And he wants to talk about
It was a chalky night, and I had a lot of dogs. So
you had some silly picks, to be honest. But go ahead.
I'll defend my Holly Holm pick later. But
will you? That'll be good. Okay, go ahead. What went right for you immediately?
Alex Pajeda. Like, there are people out there who were betting Jamal Hill in this fight. I just want to remind you that this line got closer, not farther apart, as the week went on.
Some friends in the Discord were like, some newer friends.
Anybody think that this guy could box with Alex Pajeda?
He thought he could.
Also, just out of curiosity, coolest moment or like coldest moment or most badass moment ever when he tells Herb Dean to get out of his way. He doesn't care that he got kicked in the junk, and then immediately proceeds to knock him out cold like a second later. Like, dude, that's icy cold. And just like, it just goes to show, Jamal Hill has power in his hands. You can't bet a guy at -125 or +125 or +115 or whatever he was come fight time. You can't bet that just on power. when he's fighting one of the best kickboxers in the world, you know, one of the, or at least, you know, one of the best MMA kickboxers in the world, I should say. I shouldn't, I should clarify that. I'm not a kickboxing expert. You don't pick the guy with just power against the guy who is phenomenal on the feet.
Yep. Tapology doesn't have enough kickboxing on it for Gumby to be an expert on that. So, waves off the dick kick and then proceeds like very next punch, knocked him down and finished the fight. So that was
one of the most badass moments I've seen. And there was another
badass Max Holloway, obviously.
Yeah.
Him and Max Holloway were the two biggest moments of the night for me. So they were pretty exciting. I wasn't able to get in the Discord at that point because I was a little behind. I didn't want to get spoiled, but it seems like I assume everyone was losing their mind over those moments in the Discord as well, if you were in there.
Yeah, that's just about that's about right. It was crazy.
All right, and we'll have to jump into whether answer questions and all that stuff. First, I got to tell you, this will probably get in your ears and eye holes before the Masters is over. So we got to send some love to our friends, our brethren at the Golf Gambling Podcast in honor of Masters Week. Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a tailor-made Spider X putter. For what I hear, that's an expensive and a good thing to have, and they're giving away for free. Obviously, that's why it says given away. So go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. You have until the end of the Masters to enter. So hopefully you are getting this in time to enter that contest. Make sure you do that. And make sure you check out their podcast and their either on YouTube and or their podcast feed, because they know what they're talking about when it comes to golf. All right. We know what we're talking about when it comes to MMA. Some people say UFC 300 last night, Paella versus Hill, T-Mobile Arena. 20,067 people, $16.5 million gate. That's a pretty massive gate. Bit more, about 16 million, 16 and a half million more than they get at the UFC Apex for fight night events. And they made it. We didn't lose any fights. Yeah, we didn't lose any fights in the fight card, which was odd. Like even from the start, we didn't lose, like even months ago, we didn't lose any fights. And another thing I just thought of now, which is odd, no heavyweights on the card. Usually like used to be the UFC used to live off heavyweight for big events like this. And
Jamal Hill is the closest thing to a heavyweight without being a heavyweight.
Boy, skinny fat guy himself, Jamal Hill. He was in the main event, which we thought was kind of humorous, or at least I thought it was humorous leading up to this. And it proved to be. Ex Paella waved off the dick punch, told Herb Dean, didn't even tell anything because Alex Pereira doesn't talk. He just put his hand to stop him and then proceeded to knock out Jamal Hill with punches, 3-14 into the first round. We predicted it, but it shouldn't have been hard, people. This isn't hard.
Yeah,
this handicapping here.
Negative 130? I mean, like...
We had him 125, even better.
Yeah, negative 125. I know people who were in, and like you said, some people in the Discord, but I like know people whose opinions I sometimes respect. And I have to now use the qualifier sometimes because they were like, I don't know, man. I think Jamal Hill's going to win this one. Like this was one of the, I mean, it was both of our locks. There's a reason it was both of our locks. Very rarely do we, either of us, lock a main event because, you know, like those are usually pretty hotly contested. This one had hotly contested odds, and we still were like, no, this is the easiest fight on the card to pick.
Yeah. And I even, in my Substack, for subscribers there, moneymma.substack.com, I said Pereira via knockout should be a winner for you, plus 135. Like, you would like a higher number for a knockout prop, but still, it seemed to be, pretty clear he was going to win, and that was how he was going to win, and that's what happened, so... I don't know if there's any more analysis needed here. Did we learn anything in this fight? No, we didn't learn anything in this fight.
No. He's a really good kickboxer, and he continues to be.
and Hill is who we thought he was. People talk about Hill looking like he was out of shape. That is his body type.
Yeah, that's just how he looks.
Yeah, whether it's lack of work or genetics or whatever the issue is, that is what he looks like. So, obviously, the next fight for Paella has to be Jiří Procházka after his performance in the on the prelims and former champ, coming off a fun performance on a big fight card. You'd think that would be the next fight. I want to see it next, at least.
I don't really see anybody else like poking their head out as being like more deserving than that. I don't know that I'm all that excited about a rematch there, but. Yeah, I could definitely see that fight in being the next one booked.
Yeah. it should be fun, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Yeah. I mean, anything with Jiří Procházka tends to be fun,
exactly. Exactly. So you'd think that would happen, but who knows? Who knows with these things? So yeah, didn't learn anything here. Did we learn anything in the co-main event? Okay. To be honest here, I only saw the first round of this. So Gumby can do the rest of it. We pretty much almost only saw first round, everyone. Yao Xiao Nan was basically want to see dead on her feet, but she wasn't on her feet when the round ended. But when she got up, she was still getting over being pretty much choked unconscious at the buzzer here. But in the end, she survived, was pretty game. From what I hear,
she had a great third round. She had a great third round.
Yeah. And she lost 49-45 across the board to Zhang Weili. I think Yan probably did better than expected in this fight.
Yeah, I think we learned how good her hands can be because, you know, she won that third round and seemingly had Weili Zhang in trouble. So much so that, and this is maybe the score of the week for some of us, is they had Weili Zhang at plus 100 after the third round. And that was having clearly won rounds one and two, in my opinion, right? Like,
yeah, she
very clearly won rounds one and two, and one should have been a 10-8 round because Yan Xiaonan was unconscious at the end of it. So like she lost round three so badly that they had her at even money on the books, which for me was stealing. Like, all she had to do was hit one more takedown and survive 10 minutes and she was going to win that fight. And then obviously her grappling took back over. I'd say if we learned anything in this fight, maybe the thing we learned the most is just like how good Weili Zhang's grappling is, because I think we forget about that being that she's had so many like toe-to-toe fights on the feet. You know, like the Joanna Jędrzejczyk fight, like they duked it out on the feet for 25 minutes. She looked great with her hands, beat a phenomenal striker with her hands. But I think sometimes we just forget she is that good on the mat too, which she showed here in this fight. So yeah, props to her. Looking forward to see her going forward. Kind of want her versus Tatiana Suarez.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen just because Tatiana Suarez is like the least active fighter in the history of mankind.
Yeah. Who would be backup then in your eyes if it's not her?
God, I hope not Jessica Andrade, right?
She's probably the most the timelines work out and she's probably the highest ranked after this event.
She didn't show anything in that fight with Marina Rodriguez that made me be like, oh, she would give trouble to Weili. Like, in fact, most of the stuff she showed shows she's a bad matchup.
You really think they care about this? It's an assembly line, Gummy. Come on.
Yeah, but like they don't. Do they really want to?
Next up.
Yeah.
Vierna Jandaroba.
Yeah, I'd say that. That's a better pick. Vierna Jandaroba is a better pick. Yeah.
If we can't have Tatiana Suarez. Right.
Yeah, I want Suarez next. I'm looking at the rankings right now. Yeah, those are pretty much the only two odds. Suarez, Vierna Jandaroba, and then you know, Jessica Andrade if everybody's legs are broken.
Yeah, Gummy's just mad because he did not pick Andrade, but we'll get to that soon. One thing we both can agree on, Underdog Fantasy, because we write articles about them every day. Gumby writes multiple articles about them. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. It's real simple. You pick between two and five. I'll say athletes because they're fighters and there's players of the other sports. They'll have numerous stats listed for that player or fighter or whatever. You pick higher or lower. Simple as that. And if you hit enough of them, you can win 100 times your money in one night. You don't have to wait a full season. You don't have to fight your friends to get your money for your pool. You get paid immediately. So simple as that. And they have MMA, which is an important thing for people listening to this show. So sign up today with promo code MMASGP. And that's the most important thing. Make sure you use our code. So we look good to the bosses. MMASGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogoffantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code MMASGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right, moving right along. So chalk. In the first two fights, no chalk in the next fight. I got this one wrong, but I didn't mind.
No, me neither.
It's very hard to pick against Max Holloway. It's hard to pick against him. It's impossible to root against Max Holloway for sure, especially when he has funky shorts on. He knocked out Justin Gaethje. 1 second left in the fight. This was not an early stoppage. Justin Gaethje was dead, face down dead on the mat, on the canvas. If you didn't see it, fun fight. It may, maybe not as wild as we thought or as hoped it would be, but Holloway surprised with his power. That's for sure. He was the one landing. We thought it'd be the other way around. We thought he would have the volume. Gaethje would be landing the power, but no, Holloway had the volume and the power. He was hurt. He hurt Gaethje multiple times, broke his nose late in the first round, and then he did the old at the end of the fifth round, about 10 seconds or so left, did the old point to the center of the cage, let's throw down. Nothing ever happens when fighters do this, you know, they smack each other a few times, nothing ever happens, except this time something did happen.
It happened.
Oh wait, face planted Justin Gaethje with the second left. Wow. In a career full of highlight reel fights and moments, this has got to be the top of them for Max Holloway.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's interesting to me too for a couple of reasons. Number one, you're right. He did seemingly show more power than he has before. I think a lot of it though for me was, and this is probably where we both underestimate him, right? We said the pace would be about the same, the volume would be about the same, you know, the all that, and then the power would go to Gaethje. I don't know necessarily that that's untrue, but I think the variable we didn't throw in there was the accuracy. Like, Gaethje threw and missed a lot in this fight because Max was so good defensively. And then Max's stuff was just absolutely pinpoint, right? Like he was, and I think that's why he hurt Gaethje as many times as he did, is because he just hit him square constantly. So like, I think that was an underrated variable of that we definitely both overlooked. But I was just going to say the wild thing to me is he won that fight. He looks so damn good at lightweight there. And then immediately we're talking about him back at featherweight. Yeah. I get it. There's a new featherweight champion there. He doesn't have to go fight his boogeyman, Alex Volkanovski, for the 85th time. Instead, he gets a new guy. And I get it. But isn't it like, not that I think he's got much of a chance against Islam, but isn't it wild that he didn't call out Islam?
Yeah, as people on YouTube see, I'm upset about that as well. Shaking my head. Yeah, that's such an MMA move, though. That's just constant. Fighters always, like, they have ants in their pants. They can't stick in one weight class. It's like when someone wins a belt, then they talk about becoming double champ. Yeah, I was upset when I heard that he was talking about going down featherweight. They were mentioning that while the fight was going on. I'm like, why? You look so amazing at lightweight.
Did you? I know you don't watch like post fight interviews and stuff.
No.
I know you fast forward through that shit. But did you see the look on Ilia Topuria's face?
I heard after about that it. Fight? Yes, I heard about
he
it.
He looks so, and I think people read way too much into this kind of stuff, right? Like you see somebody and the camera just catches them at the right moment, and you're like, oh. No, he looks scared. Like, and I'll be one of the people in on the conspiracy theory here. I think Ilia Topuria looked scared at the end of that fight. He was like, I don't want to see any part of that guy in the cage right now. I think that's the fight they're going to make next, right? We were gonna talk about this at the end, maybe with the announced fights. What would you line that fight at? What would you, especially after seeing Max do that?
I think Topuria would be the favorite probably, but it'd be probably pretty close. I would say minus 130. How about
so just basically what we just saw with the Vejeda versus Hillwine, and I'll tell you what, I think I might take a stab at it, Holloway, if that's the case.
Yeah.
If he comes in at dog money, I mean, like, he just showed he can stay away from the big shot from a harder puncher, right? And that's what Topuria is. I don't know necessarily that Topuria is faster than him. We'd have to answer the wrestling question, obviously, but I think Holloway at a dog money, if he does wind up, I mean, obviously, if he's like, you know, plus 175, plus 180 or something like that, I mean, like, then definitely, yes, Max Holloway. But if it was a pick 'em and he was slight dog money, I don't know. I think I'd probably still be interested in that.
But we don't want to see him at featherweight. He's been at featherweight his whole career. There's interesting matchups at lightweight. Stick at lightweight. And featherweight doesn't really need him at this point. Like, you could,
don't they?
Sterling could get next title shot, whether you were impressed with
him. Oh, God, no,
he's a former champion.
And
he's a former champion who dominated Calvin Kattar. So, yeah,
dude, they cannot give him a title shot following that fight. There's no way.
Do whatever they want.
It was the worst fight on that card. You can't watch that Mobsar Evloev fight before and be like, that's a boring fighter. and then immediately turn around and say yes. Plus, they hate Aljamain Sterling. That's the other thing you're overlooking.
And they hate Mofsar Evloev. So, okay, he has to go to featherweight. I guess you're right.
Yeah. The only two options down there are kind of boring.
Yep. How about the next man at lightweight? Armin Tsarukyan. It was a split decision. I thought he won the fight, so I think the right guy won. He beat Charles Oliveira, 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. This was quite a fight. Tsarukyan had to get himself out of some tough predicaments in the submission stance, but he survived. He's just so good on the top, almost Habib-esque on the top when they're on the ground, and he took care of Charles Oliveira. But it was closer than the minus 200, like we said, but we said don't go anywhere near this money line.
Yeah, I stand by that. Like, the money line was still kind of scary if you were at that price. But that being said, man, he looked really good in there. I think he's got to be what's next for Islam, although they just announced Islam is now fighting Dustin Poirier again.
Yes. So why would you say he's next? Because obviously he's not next.
Well, I mean that fight's in a month, right? Or that fight's in 2 months. So, like, he'll be next up after that. He doesn't have to take a fight in the interim. I mean, he's probably up in September, right? Like, there's no extra fight for Tsarukyan at this point. Like, who else would he have to fight?
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out in the Discord late last night with our Armenian friend, Ryan H.
He was posting the Armenian flag after the fight.
Yes, I suggested Max Holloway, and that upset him very greatly because he doesn't want to see him have to go through that fight. So
no, Max is going to go down. You got Dustin out of the way. You got Gaethje out of the way. Like, you know, Benoit St. Denis sort of been removed from the equation. Like, I don't know who else he fights in there. I mean, like, Gamrot. But, like, you know, I guess he could avenge that, right? Because he's got his losses to Gamrot, right? If I'm remembering that correctly.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, he lost a split decision to Matthews Gamrot.
No, unanimous. He lost to Islam, too.
But that was short notice debut way back when. So, like, I'm ready for that rematch. Yep. I don't know that the Gamrot... I mean, I guess that's the only wrinkle that you could throw in there. You could say, like, Gamrot could get a number one contender fight against him. But I don't know. Yeah. I think Armin's just probably ready.
Yep. So Gumby crapped all over Aljamain Sterling's performance. How about Bo Nickel's performance? He did win submission, rear naked choke. He fought Cody Brundage, though. It took him 8 minutes and 38 seconds to win this fight. Slam the brakes on the hype train, ladies and gentlemen.
I just think, so first of all, I don't think it was a bad performance from Bo Nickel. I think we just have to remember that this is a guy in his fifth MMA fight, and it doesn't mean he's, like, ready to fight Khamzat next, or he's ready to fight Paulo Costa next. Like, I know that's who everybody has been fantasy matchmaking him with, but the UFC seems intent on slow playing him up the rankings because they know what they've got. I don't mind continuing to slow play him. I suggested for his next fight, he fight the Iron Turtle, John Young Park. Like, I think little baby steps like that for a guy who's had five professional fights and only one amateur fight too, by the way. Like, it's not like he had 30 amateur fights. He doesn't have to fly up the rankings right now. He can fight the Cody Brundages and have it's not like he was in trouble ever, but it just took longer to finish, you know? Yep. And, like, it takes some guys who are close to the rankings the whole fight to try to finish Cody Brundage. So, like, there's no shame in that. He's not a ranked middleweight yet, and he needs a little bit of time to figure it out.
Yep. You just got to thrust upon you when you're minus 2,000 heading into a fight. So not his fault. He hasn't set the lines. He hasn't make the matchups, all that stuff. So a win's a win. It's probably good that he got a tougher one under his belt here. So main card, not a tough one for us. We went 4-1 on it. Actually, we went chalky, and all the chalk came through except for Mr. Max Holloway. This is where the wheels fall off for Gumby, but we'll get to that in a moment. Gumby will have a good spin on it, I'm sure. After, I'm going to tell you about something positive first. AVO, our friends at AVO, we are proud to partner up with AVO. That's spelled AVO, the premier sports betting arbitrage tool. If you're new to arbitrage sports betting, it's very simple. Basically, betting both sides of a bet at two different sports books to lock in a profit. The AVO tool scans the sports books looking for discrepancies in the odds and then tells you how much money you need to place with each sports book and the expected profit. Tool is super easy to use and lightning fast. The speed is a big part of arbitrage sports betting. And the best part, if that's not doesn't sound good enough to you already. The best part is AVO is currently free to use without restrictions. That's right, completely free. Get started today at arbsversusodds.com. That's arbsvsodds.com. arbsversusodds.com. All right. The man who used to be the prelim picking god had a rough night. But hey, these things happen in MMA sometimes, right?
Not they a big do. Deal.
We shall be touting the power of the Gumby on tomorrow's episode and most episodes. So it's okay if he has an off night once in a while. Yuri Prochazka did not have an off night. He got beat up a bit. His legs definitely got chewed up right away. Alexander Rakic looked pretty solid until he didn't. That's going to happen. If you stick around too long in the cage with Yuri Prochazka, the man finds a way to win fights. TKO punches 317 into the second round. I had Prochazka as a slight underdog. This is the only underdog that came through for me at plus 105, but I shall take it. I think it was closer to a pick 'em when fight night rolled around. But yeah, Prochazka looked like Yuri Prochazka, like no issues there.
Like he gets beat up before he does it.
Beat up and comes through. I don't care whether he's a samurai or not. All that nonsense about him being the samurai and Bushido and all that stuff.
So good.
Yeah, it's so funny. Even after the fight, of course, Joe Rogan would be all in on that. Anyhow, Rakic looked good getting the ring rust knocked off. Didn't really look too rusty at all in there. Maybe he was getting a bit tired, but it was a pretty wild fight when you're fighting Yuri Prochazka. But yeah, then got handled.
I got issues with his fight IQ. I don't know why we weren't continuing to rip the legs after it was clearly working. You know what I mean? Like,
he that's ripped the MMA way, Gumby. You always have to go away from whatever works.
He did it. It was working. And then he kind of got into a wilder, less technical fight with Yuri Prochazka, which is like, he's the last guy you want to do that with.
Well, why does no one use a jab, Gumby? Because it's the MMA way. Because it's effective. Yeah. So you don't do it.
I would say Rakic looked good enough that I'm still like interested in seeing him kick around the top of the division against some of these guys. Mm-hmm. I'd probably pick him to beat Jamal Hill. How about that? Yeah. How about that fact right there?
How about they do that fight next? It makes sense.
Yeah. Both coming off a loss. Timelines should probably line up. Both got kind of brutally knocked out, so they're probably going to need a minute. One of them much more brutally knocked out.
Yeah, Rakic just wasn't really that bad. It was a TKO. It wasn't horrible. It
wasn't good, but yeah.
It's not preferable. It's not preferable for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought Yuri looked good on the comeback. Like you said earlier on the show, probably a title fight in his near future. Yeah. So
I forgot it would have been a rematch, but that doesn't matter. It's not like light heavyweight is a deep pool that you can be.
Yeah, I was trying to think of somebody else who is interesting. I guess just Ankalaev, right, is the only one who kind of is there. Yeah. But
I thought you said interesting.
Well, he had that god awful fight with Jan. Well, I guess it wasn't god awful, but he just like he gave it up. Yeah. And like if he, I think the UFC still hates him for that.
If we're basing it on merit, if it's based on merit, he probably, unless the former champ thing carries more weight, then it should be Yuri. If not, then Magomed is on the biggest, like he hasn't lost for ages. So
yeah.
Khalil Roundtree, a dark horse. He's probably a fight or two away, but he's on a nice streak too. Carlos Ullberg probably further down the road. So there's some possibilities coming down the road, but I think that just makes a Yuri fight make more sense because these other guys can kind of
duke it out,
duke it out and figure things out from there. Plus, you know, he's got the name and he's fun. So why not do it?
Yeah. I'm in on it.
All right. Aljamain Sterling. I thought Gumby liked him and was a fan and was on my side when I said people shouldn't be so hard on Aljamain Sterling. Is it because he totally dominated your boy who you only pick because you live by him? Is what I've read.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's
Aljamain Sterling, it wasn't silly. No, it wasn't a silly pick. It made sense. After I picked him and I did an underdog fantasy article, I'm like, oh, Cater never gets taken down. He hasn't been taken down in five fights. And Sterling needs to take people down and win, but which is still the case. What I didn't predict would happen is Sterling basically took down Cater at will. Sterling looked good. He looked much bigger. Like he looked good for the weight class, looked strong. Obviously he's still not going to wow anyone on the feet, but I think it shouldn't be overlooked how much he dominated Calvin. Everyone's putting this in Calvin Kattar's in his lap for the poor performance, but how much of it was Sterling was all over him and did not give him a chance to get going.
Well, I think so you could give Sterling some credit for that too, right? Like, I'm not super sold on Sterling at this weight class just because it seemed like he couldn't necessarily control Calvin Kattar all that well on the mat. You know, like, he was getting takedowns and he got 100 of them, but like, you only get 100 takedowns if you let him up 99 times. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I wasn't real sold on that. And then the other thing too was, I think it does have to go down to putting it in Calvin Kattar's lap here, because Calvin Kattar is a guy who has always had intent and always moved forward and let his hands go. And he looks scared to do that when the horn, when the very first bell rang. Like, he came out of the first round and he looked afraid to throw his hands. And like, it's the only time I've ever seen that from him. You have to imagine it's the damn near 2 years off and like, didn't have his timing down. So like, I think it is on him more than it's on Sterling. Like, this was a boring fight because Sterling couldn't get any of his offense really going, despite the fact that Kattar didn't look ready to fight and Kattar looked afraid to get going. Like, he didn't know how to get going. So I don't even know that this fight would look as dominant or as one way if Kattar wasn't as rusty. Like, if he comes back and we do this again in, let's say, a year from now, and Kattar's got a couple more fights in between, I think Kattar would come forward with pressure, and I think these takedowns would be a lot harder to come by.
All right. You be a hater. You go ahead and beat Kattar.
Dude, did you think that was a good performance?
No.
You thought that that was worthy of a title shot?
Through, like, I zipped through most of it. I'm just saying, he's
really, truly boring.
doesn't matter if it's boring. It was effective and impressive is what I'm saying.
But I don't even think it was impressive because he lets him back up every time. Like, if he backpacked him nonstop for 15 minutes, I'd be here singing his praise, even if he didn't get the submission. But like,
who dominates Calvin Kattar like that in grappling?
In grappling? Well, I've never seen anybody try to do it for all that long, you know? Like, and again, But then again, you can ask the same exact question: was that Calvin Kattar though? Because wouldn't anybody at featherweight who likes to grapple, you know, take Movsar Evloev or, you know, any other guy who likes to wrestle that maybe he would have fought, and tell him he's not going to march forward and throw his hands? I'm sure they would dominate him grappling. Like, if he just backed up to the cage nonstop.
So you're saying Aljamain Sterling is not a samurai? I'm confused now.
He's also not a samurai.
I thought he was a samurai. Yeah. Man.
None of these people are samurais.
Really?
But I will not tell Yuri Prohashka that if we happen to do an, if we do another interview, I will not tell him he's not a samurai.
Are any of them savages?
Max Holloway.
You know who else is a savage? The next person, Kayla Harrison. She's a savage at bantamweight. Holly Holm. Good fight IQ, Hall of Fame boxer, decides I'm going to grapple with a two-time judo gold medalist who is like what a decade younger than me and way bigger and way stronger. I think I'm going to grapple with her multiple times, and then I'm going to get myself submitted rear naked choke, 147 in the second round. Holly Holm needs to go away. That pacing before each round and each, just for that sake, she can go away just for that hyper pacing. She can go go protect her children. She doesn't need to be in the cage to protect her children. Right. Harrison looked good. You're probably going to tell me Harrison didn't look good. And
she did. No, you. So here's there's the difference for me in between. This is why I can watch the Aljamain Sterling fight. Sure. And be like, I don't love him in his new weight class. And then I'll watch Kayla Harrison and say, I love her in her new weight class. Right. Mm-hmm. Because both of them were gifted opportunities by their opponent who were not doing the things that they were supposed to do. Right. Holly Holm's supposed to keep range and throw her hands. She clinched up. Idiot. Real stupid. Calvin Kattar's supposed to move forward and let his hands go. He didn't. Idiot. So both of them were like gifted this great opportunity. Aljamain Sterling scored like 700 takedowns in like two minutes of top control time. Kayla Harrison, well, despite being countered one time, which you got to give Holly Holm a little bit of credit.
That's true.
Despite being countered one time, dominant on top. Absolutely dominant on top. Great positioning, brutal with the ground and pound. She just like made use of every single second she was on top. And that's why you can see a performance like that and be like, yes, she's fitting in this new weight class. Although, man, she looked brutal on the scales. That was absolutely scary to see her on the
scales. Her whole body's changed though. So she's like even slimmer. Like, it seems like, she's way, way, way slimmer.
It's she not probably like she has was... to. There's no way she's going to make 135 otherwise. Did you hear? So first of all, I would also like to give a shout out to Raquel Pennington, who did an interview for our channel, which you can go check out on our YouTube channel. By the way, subscribe to our YouTube. And she said that, you know, in the that this fight. She broke down this fight. She was like, if Holly Holm does the dumb thing and clinches up and tries that game, she's going to lose. And I was like, otherwise she's got a chance. I stand by that. Like, I still think Holly Holm at range probably would have had a chance in this one, especially because she didn't force Kayla Harrison to like throw a bunch and tire her arms out. You know what I mean? And I know grappling is tiring for some people, but she's been a judoka for a billion years. So like that kind of fight doesn't tire her. Like that's what she's used to doing. But if she forced her to like spam a bunch of strikes to try to get in close and like forced her to do work, like who knows what would have happened. It was some of the dumbest fight IQ I've ever seen out of any fighter. And again, like I said, a stab on Holly Holm at plus, what was it, 345, 355, something like that, was worth it. I still think it is, just because you're like, if she fought the right kind of fight, who knows? But like you were tearing up tickets the 3 seconds into the fight.
Hey, you want to hear a secret? Jackson Wink, not a very good fight camp anymore.
It's a bad one. Was it? Here's a question. Bad one
for a long time, though.
Here's a question. Was it ever a good one? Because I know they had tons of fighters there for a while. It
could just be the talent that was there.
Yeah, and the timing. Like, they were all, you know, I mean, even John Jones, which they like constantly take credit for him being a Jackson Wink guy, he came up through Team Bomb Squad in New York.
Right.
Like, he was there for a really long time before he all of a sudden had a bunch of good training partners at Jackson Wink. So, yeah, maybe their game planning is just the worst stuff ever.
Yeah. I think a positive thing, Harrison did not get tired. Like, she was just relentless, so... Yeah, maybe she cut the weight properly, because like you said, she did look painfully drawn out at the weigh-ins, but looked pretty fantastic.
I heard she wants Amanda Nunes next.
Really?
That's super fight. The word
just
on the street.
Go and get the belt. Like, she would beat Pennington, so go and do that. What does Pennington like to do? She likes to clinch. She's going to get put on her ass if she clinches.
Although, so first of all, yeah, at this point, I'm probably picking Kayla Harrison in that fight too, but Raquel Pennington in her last fight tried to stay out of the clinch a little bit with Myra Buena Silva and outboxed her really badly. So I think she's also smarter at game planning than Holly Holm. I don't know that I would completely count out Raquel Pennington, but I would probably pick Kayla Harrison at this point.
Yeah. So what do you think they should do? Should they give her?
It should be Rocky. Yeah. You know, and Pennington said she didn't really love the idea of somebody only fighting one time in the promotion and then getting a title fight, but this is different. Yeah, is different. And I know that it sucks if you're Raquel Pennington and had to fight 422 times before you got your first title shot and then another 7 times before you got your second one. But like, this is a 2-time Olympic gold medalist in judo.
Yeah.
She gets to cut the line.
And a double champ in the PFL, even though Dana White, I hear, had some choice words for the PFL in his press conference. So, all right, this man may not be too far away from a title fight himself. Diego Lopez is really
so
impressive.
Good.
His hair is just on point now.
Glorious.
Mullet, it's not even a mullet. It's like it flows. It's so long in the back. But he took care of Sadiq Youssef. TKO punches 129 into the first round. The man doesn't waste time, right? He gets right down to it. And he had Lopez minus 140.
He's incredible. It's really a shame that he didn't beat Movsarevloyev. This is a Movsarevloyev episode, by the way.
It is. It is.
It's really a shame he didn't beat Movsarevloyev in that short notice fight, because I really think he's a better fighter than Movsar. He called for the rematch. I love it. Give him Movsar again, and let's watch him actually beat him. Here's the guy you need at featherweight to take one fight or two more while Max Holloway eats up the title shot. I'll tell you what, if Max went in there and beat Topuria, or even if he didn't, I guess Diego Lopez versus either of those guys sounds like the most fun. Because this guy is absolutely electric in there. Like, he is powerful. His submission game is amazing. His wrestling is good. Like, I don't really see a weakness in this guy right now.
No. And he's not as young as you think. So they can,
he's been around forever.
Yeah, he's been around forever. He's going to be 30. Well, he's still not 30. 30 and at the end of the year. So, but I don't think that just low play him. Like, Sadiq Youssef is pretty high up ranked guy until he lost the last fight, I guess. So I swept this part of the prelims. I went 4-0. Gumby went 1-3. Ouch. This man disappointed me, Gumby. I think he's disappointed me before. Jalen Turner, he got dominated by Hanato Moicano.
He didn't get dominated. He was
on the ground. On the ground.
He won the fight.
Yeah. He thought he had a walk-off knockout, which very clearly was not a walk-off knockout because Moicano bounced up immediately. And then got dominated on the ground and ground and pounded to death by Hanato Moicano. 4-11 to the second round. We didn't see a TKO win for Hanato Moicano coming here.
Did you, if you haven't already, you got to go back and watch his post-fight press con- or post-fight interview.
I'm sure it was unhinged.
It was nuts, man. He said a lot of words. I don't know how they work together, but he said a lot of words. I just don't know how you being Jalen Turner, you land that punch and walk away. You know, like with unless the bonuses did something to him, he's like, oh, yeah. Walk-off KO for sure gives me $300,000. I guess $300,000 will make people do some pretty crazy things, but also yeah. It'll make you get half your paycheck. That's yep. What it will do. We picked him. We said the line was dumb. First of all, I want to give ourselves a little pat on the back there. You don't bet that guy at -200 against Moicano because Moicano's tough. But like, he should have won that fight. Like, he landed the knockout blow. I thought he was going to land early in the fight, and he just then chose not to make it a knockout blow. Crazy stuff. Truly crazy stuff. He's going to be kicking himself for a really long time after that fight.
Yeah. So we didn't hit that one. I hit Andrade over Rodriguez. Split decision. I don't know about that. 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. I think the right person won, not just because I had Andrade at -135.
I actually think Rodriguez won that fight. I said it in the Discord. I said literally after the second round, I was like, Rodriguez did enough to win that round. She should have won that round on all the judges' scorecards. And all they're going to remember is the last 15 seconds where Andrade looked really good. And I didn't think it was enough that should have swayed the entire round. But I was like, the optics of it are bad. Two out of three judges are going to have it that way. I think Rodriguez should have won. But there's no way they're going to give it to her. I wonder when, hang on, let me.
Adelaide Bird on my side. I'm on there right now. Sherdog had, a guy from Sherdog had Rodriguez. Someone from Sporting News and someone from MMA Junkie had Rodriguez, but everybody else was
like kind of a weird mix. It wasn't,
the usual suspects.
Combat press and Sherdog gave Andrade every round. So that's how they're messing this one up.
They find a way always, don't they?
There's no way. So say what you want about the second round. If you want to give it to Andrade, give it to Andrade. But there's no way you give Andrade the third. She didn't win the third.
Yeah.
The third was clearly Rodriguez. There you go. Sherdog in combat press. They messed that one up by giving her even the third round. Because
they find a way.
She didn't win that. But that being said, close fight. I don't think you could complain no matter who came out with the decision there. It wasn't like when I was screaming at the TV when Charles Oliveira got a scorecard. And I was like, there isn't any way he won that fight. This one they read, you know, there were different scorecards. And I was like, oh, yeah, that kind of makes sense.
There's always a way, Gumby. They find a way. They find a way, these judges. Yep. Adelaide Bird was on my side, I should mention. So as long as Adelaide Bird is on my side, I can't go wrong, right?
That's the stance.
Power of the bird. Anyhow, that was that. I am glad I hit that one. Pretty good fight around. Both ladies, you know, look fine. It's not like either of them look shot at that point. They both looked perfectly fine. All right. What else do we have here? This one was sad. It was a good fight, but it was sad that our boy Jim Miller got himself beat up pretty bad. Bobby Green looked really good here. 30-27, 30-25, 29-26. I thought you probably could have given Miller the first round, but yeah, the rest of it was pretty clearly Bobby Green, just the volume, and he was hurting Miller consistently. Miller could not get him down to the ground.
Yeah, I thought Miller won the first, and he was like slinging those right hands early too. It looked like he tagged Bobby Green a couple of times. And when we were talking about the Miller KO, we were getting pretty excited about those punches. But yeah, then just like there wasn't enough pace, enough energy there in Jim Miller to be beating a guy like Bobby Green. So kind of a bummer, very fun fight. Jim Miller started to look his age in this fight, I think, which is kind of disappointing to hear. But he got to do the 100, 200, 300 thing. I'm sure he's pretty happy overall. And he had a hell of a fight with Bobby Green.
Don't you say he looks his age, Gummy. He's not going anywhere ever. And then the opener, Fun fight. It did not end the way I predicted, though. Deiveson Figueiredo ended up submitting Cody Garbrandt, rear naked choke, 4-2 in the second round. I had Figueiredo as via knockout as my prop bet. A lot of people were in on that because it seemed like a pretty obvious outcome at plus 200. But alas, Figueiredo looked good, but he ended up winning by submission.
Cody's striking actually looked pretty good in this fight, too. I want to give him his flowers on this. I know
He hasn't looked so bad in his past few fights.
Nah, he's looked pretty good. It basically made Figueiredo say, like, well, what does he look like on the ground? We got that answer pretty quickly. So, yeah, not much to say here other than Figgy is definitely a force at bantamweight, I think. Oh, yeah. I think we got to run him against somebody a little bit higher up on the ladder. They did in his last fight, to be fair. Like, he fought Rob Font, and then they're like, what about Cody Garbrandt?
Yep.
What kind of trajectory is that?
Yep. So I went 10-3, won 226. Gummy went 6-7, lost 440, so or 439. So I'm at 59%. You're at 52%. I am up almost $2,000 on you. But
there's still time.
Is there still time?
Yeah. I won last year, so.
It's true. We both have Paella as our locks. We missed on Cater and Miller as dogs. Lopez submission did not hit. Figueiredo knockout did not hit. Both those people won, and they won via finish, but they did not win the way we had predicted. As for the bonuses, Max Holloway, a lot richer now. He had got a $300,000 bonus for fight of the night with Justin Gaethje, $300,000 bonus for performance of the night, as did Jiří Procházka. So the rich get richer in this case. I guess everyone on this fight card except for Cody Brundage, are on decent contracts at this point.
Diego Lopez, probably not.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He could have used the bonus. Yeah.
He's probably only on his second contract at this point. So, yeah, he's probably making the 20,000, 20 and 20 range somewhere. So, that was UFC 300. There were some announcements. Some Irish guys coming back to fight. Apparently, we'll see if it happens at welterweight. I guess usually when fights are announced, Connor appears and fights, right?
Well, they gave it they have a card for it now.
Yeah, UFC 303, was it?
Yeah, it's supposedly official. It's International Fight Week. So do you think, because at this point, you got to fade Conor McGregor, right? Like, there's no...
Do you? Chandler's been sitting on the shelf forever, too, now because of this. That's a thing.
Yeah, I don't... Man, it's at 170, too.
It's at welterweight, yeah.
I don't know. Are you convincing me right now that Conor?
I'm not trying to. I haven't really given it much thought because I really don't care about these these like showcase, quote unquote showcase fights. Like it has no meaning anymore at this point.
Well, the winner is getting Leon Edwards, are they not?
No, yeah.
They got to find a way to skip Bilal Muhammad.
Yeah, it's true.
They got to find a way to forget the name.
It's been Chandler's not fought since November 2022. He's not won since May of 2022. So it's not like he's been
it's not good either.
And this is not his weight class either. So I don't know. Have odds. I guess there's been odds for this forever, right? For this
fight. There have. It's gotta be Connor's a slight favorite, right? Because like just
Connor -120. Yep.
Yeah, casual money comes in on Connor no matter what. People like to say they have money on Conor McGregor. That's the bottom line. Yeah. I know. I guess I don't know either. I went into this thinking like, obviously Michael Chandler is going to win. And then you just like broke that down in my brain for like 4 seconds. What do you think about the Poirier rematch then? That's the other one that got announced. UFC, I think it's 301. It's the headliner for it. 302.
302
in New Jersey.
New Jersey. Well, Islam's going to run through him. So.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not interested.
Islam -350.
Is that what it is? Oh, no. or is that you're guessing?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is there a reason to think Poirier would be different than the first time?
-400. You've underestimated it. -400 is what it is.
Yeah. So. It's just going to be Habib's second, you know, go be Habib again and do the exact same thing Habib did to him.
Yep. So we have that to look forward to, I guess. What else? Sean Strickland, Paulo Costa, 5-round co-main event on one of these cards.
On the Poirier versus Islam fight.
Is okay. Yeah. So June 1st. So I think Strickland would probably be able to handle that one.
I don't know. Paulo Costa looked really good against Robert Whittaker.
That's true. Maybe
he did he did just show a really good performance. And really, what does it take to beat Sean Strickland? Throwing one hard punch. Yeah, throwing hard. As long as you throw hard, you got a chance to beat him. So, but say what you want about Paulo Costa, he can do that.
Yep, it's true. Anything else that we should discuss that was announced that I overlooked?
God, no.
I hit it all.
Miguel Baeza got a fight. No, oh, not that.
No, okay. I don't think people are clamoring for us to talk about that. All right, we probably talk long enough because we have a bunch of episodes. This is just the start of the week for us. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. No UFC this week, but it doesn't matter. We've got things covered. I'll let you know what you have to look forward to. If you're a sicko and you look forward to these things, which if you're listening to this point or watching to this point, you are a sicko. We have PFL part three, PFL episode three. It's happening this week. We're doing the prelims on Monday, doing the main card on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, we are doing Cage Wars. They have an event coming up this weekend. And then Thursday, our friends at Octagon, which is our under the radar promotion, favorite promotion of a lot of our viewers. So we're going to be covering that on Thursday. Does that sound good, Gumby?
Sounds good to me.
All right. So back in your ear holes and eye holes very soon with PFL. In the meantime, get in the Discord with all the new people and all the old people. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter's SGP and MMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer there and on Instagram. Obviously, YouTube. Thank you, everyone who subscribes there. MMA Gambling Podcast. Watches their stuff. I got my Substack money, MMA.substack.com. Get in there. Check out my readings, my different rankings. I do stat stuff, stat breakdowns, and of course, my weekly UFC pick'em contest. Gummy's got Top Turtle MMA podcast. He made Jim Miller lose and get his face beat up because he was on last week. So
I had Michael Dufort on too. And guess what? He cashed the +230 favorite. So
guess who's going back to the PFL again? He's always going back to the PFL. How much he loves the PFL. That's tomorrow. So listen to Top Turtle. And of course, we are at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. All our writing, all our giveaways, all our podcasts are there. Our store is sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. So you can dress cool like me. I've got a shirt and a hat on from the store. Currently, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon, so we can continue to keep the corporate gambling behemoths at bay. So we'll be back tomorrow. It will be Poetan Jeff Fox. It will be Sweet Dreams Gumby Vreeland. We'll talk to you then.